after they left the synagogue. After they left the synagogue. That's how our gospel reading begins today. Jesus and the disciples had left the synagogue. And then unfolds this story that we've just read from the gospel reading this morning. When you think about it, a lot of what we read about in the Gospels about Jesus is about his ministry outside the synagogue, after he's left the synagogue. Now, there are stories about Jesus at the synagogue or at the temple. And if you remember some of those stories, oftentimes what we find is Jesus, who was fed and nourished and is a part of that faith community in the synagogue, what Jesus did oftentimes was speak almost from a prophetic place, you know, challenging and engaging and inviting the gathered to understand their faith in a deeper way and to journey forward to a deeper understanding of God. You know, one of the most popular stories of Jesus at the temple is casting out the money changers. That's a story inside the synagogue, or the temple. But so much of the ministry of Jesus is outside the synagogue, after he leaves the synagogue. And I'd like to think about that this morning, share a few thoughts on that this morning, as we gather together in our synagogue, as we gather together as a gathered people, what these readings can be inviting us to consider today in our journey together. We are a community of faith, and we live in this rhythm. We live in this rhythm of gathering and being sent forth. Gathering, being sent forth. Think about it. Now, when you came here this morning, you left your house, you drove over here, parked out in the parking lot. If someone were to say to you this morning, where are you going? You would have said, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. We walk in here, we walk through the doors, and we enter the church. We enter into the gathered community. And here at St. Paul's, as we enter through those doors, we walk by the waters of baptism. Those waters of baptism are a reminder to us of who we are, a reminder to us of this invitation we had through the waters of baptism to be part of this faith community, to be part of the Christian journey. And we're called to share our gifts, share who we are, and learn who we are in the midst of a community gathered together. And as we gather, the priest stands at the gathering place, inviting and gathering the community together as we gather to feed each other and nourish each other, challenge each other, grow together, learn together about this faith that we live together. And then at the conclusion of the liturgy, it's usually the deacon. In our parish here, it's Candy. When Candy's here, if Candy's not here, the priest says that line. But the deacon stands at that baptismal font at the conclusion of our liturgy and says words to the effect, let us go forth into the world. Let us go forth into the world proclaiming the good news. Different lines that are offered to say that. But it's the call to go forth. It's the call as we leave the synagogue. And I would suggest to you that when we walk through those doors into the church dispersed, we're not leaving church, but those doors, once again, are the entrance. They're the entrance to the church sent forth, the entrance to the church dispersed. And so in many ways, if you think about it, when we come to church, whether we're walking into the gathered community or walking to be the church dispersed, we are the church. And those doors are the entrance. And we're coming or as we're leaving. We're not really exiting church when we leave here. And when you think about it, we spend most of our time as the church sent forth, the church dispersed. And so we say to ourselves, what does that look like? What are we called to do? Who are we called to be when we're sent forth? I'd like to take a look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians this morning. I think Paul has some suggested ideas for us to consider this morning that can speak to this. Remember when I first encountered Paul and his writings years ago, particularly in seminary, Paul struck me as kind of a real strong type A personality. Paul seemed to be this really driven individual. You know, his life, he had this incredible transformation, and he was just a disciple to the Gentiles, a disciple to the world. And I had difficulties with Paul when I first encountered him. How can I wrap my arms around him? And this reading from Corinthians has one of those verses that I remember hearing years ago. It's that verse at the end of the reading this morning where Paul says, you know, I am all things to all people. I remember when I first heard that word, it just intimidated me. All things. I must be all things to all people. I remember saying to myself, my life would have meaning if I could be one thing to one person. I'd feel my life had a lot of meaning. But all things to all people. I had an image of St. Paul, sort of like a comic book hero. You know, the cover of a comic book, perhaps with a cape around him, the breeze blowing. And Paul proclaiming, you know, that kind of, I am all things to all people. You know, this kind of mythic kind of hero. But I think as I've engaged with Paul over the years, as I've listened to Paul over the years, I think he's saying something much different than my first impression. Here's what I think Paul is saying to us today, particularly in that phrase, being all things to all people. If you listen to the reading before that verse, Paul says some interesting things. He says, to the Jews, I became as a Jew. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. To the weak, I became weak. What does that mean? Is that a hint for us of what we can be as the church sent forth? And what does Paul mean by that? I'd like to offer a thought on that, which I think helps to understand this. Richard Rohr, one of my spiritual person I love to read and hear and who feeds and nourishes me quite a bit, has a line that he shares in some of his talks. And it's such a simple line, but so often in simplicity there is like a powerful message we can hear. And Richard Rohr says, every viewpoint is a view from a point. Every viewpoint is a view from a point. And if we are going to change our viewpoint, we need to change the point from where we stand. To see in a new way. To see a new view. It sounds simple, but how challenging that is when you think about it. To change our viewpoint, to change the point from where we see. But I think what Paul is saying to us, I suggest to you what Paul could be saying to us this morning is, for Paul, to the Jew, I became as a Jew. To the person under the law, I became as a person under the law. It's almost as if Paul is saying, encountering people and saying to the Jewish person, let me stand. Can I stand with you? Can I stand where you stand? And can I see what you see? Help me to see your view. Help me to understand what you see. Help me to be part of that view that you have. To becoming part of that. And I think Paul then kind of suggests to the person, I can picture Paul saying something like, can I invite you over here? Can you leave that point for a while and come over here? And stand in the point where I stand. And let me show you what I see. Let me show you the view that I'm experiencing from where I stand. Can you come with me? Can you come over here? You know, you can go back if you need to. You know, it's hard to leave our point of viewing. It's what transformation is. It's what change is. Letting go of one point of view to change, to live into the gospel, to change our point of view. I can picture Paul inviting people to do that. Could you come here with me? Let me show you this point. Isn't it what Jesus does throughout his ministry? How often do we hear Jesus say to people, would you follow me? Will you walk with me? Will you come with me? Will you leave where you are for where you are not yet? Let go of what you know for what you don't know yet. Can I show you another view? Can you change the point from where you stand? I think that's a lot of what Paul means when he says, I am all things to all people. And can we be invited to that kind of relationship? can we be invited to truly enter into how others view what they view. We may not agree with how we view what we view, but I've found in my life it helps to understand why someone sees as they see and understand their point of view. We can disagree, but can we together walk to a new point? Can we together walk to a new way of seeing and understanding as we walk ever more deeply into this gospel message? Transformation is a process. It's not been my experience that it's always a one-time kind of thing, but it's a process that we go through. And I think that's what Paul invited the people that he encountered in his ministry, and I think that's what Jesus did in his ministry after he left the synagogue, as he went forth into the world inviting people to a new vision, a new dream, a new point of view. A couple of weeks ago, we gathered at our diocesan convention in Winston-Salem. And Bishop Curry, for the last year and a half or so, a couple years, has really invited our diocese into a dream and a vision. Bishop Curry has this great gift of doing that and inviting us to consider new ways of living into this dream. And one of the thoughts he shared last year had to do with this verse, "Let us go to Galilee." Let us go to Galilee. You may hear some of our delegates referring to that phrase, or if you read any of the diocesan publications, you'll hear this, see this phrase, "go to Galilee." And maybe you don't totally grasp what the meaning of that is, but the teaching behind it was, Bishop Curry shared with us, he'd been engaging with some of the gospel stories about the resurrection. And in both Matthew and Mark's gospel, it's an interesting story. Tells the story of the disciples, the followers of Jesus, going to the tomb on Easter morning. They come to the tomb. They've experienced this tragic death of Jesus. And they come to the tomb. Talk about a point of view. Talk about a viewpoint. Expecting death. That's how they viewed it. But it says an angel appears to the followers and says to them, "You're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He has gone ahead of you to Galilee. He's gone ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there." And these followers of Jesus talk about changing a point of view. Rather than standing in front of that tomb, they're invited to go to Galilee and see Jesus alive, see the ministry of Jesus alive in Galilee. Galilee representing the world, representing the community in which the people lived, representing a world that was in need of healing and reconciliation, teaching and preaching. That was the ministry of Jesus, teaching, preaching, healing, bringing about reconciliation in the world. And these followers of Jesus go and they find Jesus, and they enter into that new life, that new preaching and teaching and reconciling and healing. Isn't it interesting, when you think about it, there's no reference in the stories of the resurrection of Jesus going back to the synagogue, but rather calling us this new life is beyond the synagogue. And so, as a diocese, Bishop Curry has invited us to go to Galilee, to find where Jesus is alive, to see where God is active in creation, because God is alive in all of creation. We don't bring God to the world. Sometimes in religion, we can be filled with kind of almost a narcissistic arrogance that we bring God to the world, that we somehow own God. But God is present throughout all of creation. And our call is to go to Galilee. Our call is to go into the world and find the holy, find God at work, and join with that. And bring about a transformation. Invite the world to a new point of view, to a new way of viewing, to live the gospel of reconciliation and healing. And so at our diocesan convention, we're invited to continue that journey into Galilee. So as we gather here today, I invite us to continue to gather, to continue to gather in our synagogue and be healed and to be nourished and to be nurtured But know that we are then sent forth, as the church sent forth. We are sent forth to Galilee to touch people's lives, to change that viewpoint, perhaps of those in our families, perhaps those in our communities, perhaps those in our neighborhoods, perhaps the people we encounter in our lives. Here at St. Paul's, we continue to engage in seeing a new point of view as we grow in this journey together. And as a diocese, may we continue to grow in our understanding of who we're called to be as we're sent forth into Galilee. We're just as much church when we're sent forth as we are when we're gathered. And we're just as much church when we're gathered as when we're sent forth. We're always church. And we give thanks for this gathering, for this community of faith, for this synagogue where we're fed and nourished. And let the readings today invite us to an incredible vision, an incredible dream, an incredible possibility, an incredible point of view as we journey forth after we leave the synagogue. Let us go forth today, living into that dream and living into that vision together as a people of faith. Amen.